That's it. So you see, it's quite simple in the case when this guy is eigenfunction, and it is eigenfunction of Hamiltonian. But of course, if you want to write this in coordinate space, it's more complicated. Like in the case of hydrogen atom, you should solve second order non-trivial linear equation, ODE, right? Actually, it's PDE, but you could consider standard method and divide all three variables, and for each of them to have simple ODE. Okay, this is answer. But it's not the end of the story, because of course it's interesting to write Schrödinger equation in coordinate space, and one can do it.
But some maybe comments. We have here and have a change of particles, the number of particles. So
no, it's free. It's theory. Conserved number here.
Okay.
It's conserved number. Yeah, it's free theory. So in this case, we have simple. Of course, in general case, it's very difficult to find eigenfunctions of Hamiltonian when we have interaction. Nobody found exact eigenfunction of quantum chromodynamics or even quantum electrodynamics. But in the case of QED, they're quite good, approximate, but quite good, for example. Okay, so let me continue. Now, you know, we are physicists, and it's useful sometimes to look at real units, not just say one constant, one C equal one. What happens when we introduce that? So restoration in this problem, restoration. Okay, first of all, we had many times we had this Fourier integral of this type, right? D for P. When we have H, this is not dimensionless. Only when H equal 1 is dimensionless. So restore H and we have this. First integral, and then you could should write I. How I write? Okay, it's better to write I H B X. Okay, and this is B for P, and then we should write here 2 pi. 2 pi a 4. Okay, this is what we have in the case when we have h non 1. Now, Lagrangian density we had, it was this. So now this is dimensionless guy. Okay, now we introduce both H and C. Then we have this guy minus. We need to put C to get the right dimension. this has should same dimension as this, but here we have derivative with respect to time, right? This guy. Okay, and the last one, of course, this. You could rewrite this also in this form, kind of Lorentz invariant. I tell you, minus 1/2 m square c 4 pi square. But now you should understand that now d zero, this is derivative, which is this, we know in our metric, is d dx zero, which is d c dt. Okay. Now it's easy to find p. Just take, you know, that this guy is this. And now we have this stuff. So we have additional factor here. Or this guy equal 1/2. Okay. Now I put down this. Okay, now Hamiltonian density. Just essentially we repeat same stuff. So this guy goes to pi, and we get calculate carefully, and result is okay, now our commutator will get additional Planck constant, h bar. Okay, dimension phi, if you want to really find in C units, for example. Okay, take one term in this energy density or Hamiltonian density. So take H and I take the simplest term here, right? So we know this. Okay, so dimension, this guy is J over centimeter cube. Okay, this is Joe, right, Emmett? Okay, now dimension m squared c4, of course, Joule squared, because this is square of energy. And from here we have dimension phi is this. Let me write 1 over centimeter to the 3/2 and Joule 1/2. Right. Dimension pi, it's easy now. Dimension pi, we know that pi, I just derive h square phi dot square. Now we know dimension of phi, and this is dimension t, 1 over sec. So from here we have dimension pi equal j. I substitute. Okay. Just we have h square, right? So this guy. Sorry. Oh, right. Sorry. Of course. Thank you. So dimension of Planck constant. This is energy times sec. So Joule square times second. Second square, of course, because this is square, and this is 1 over s second, because derivative, and this guy, 5 centimeter to the 3/2, and Joule 1/2, and we get this answer, Joule 3/2. Second centimeter 3/2. Okay, it's useful to know in many cases, especially if you work in condensed matter, for example, in graphene, it's a kind of relativistic field theory. But if you don't write those things, nobody will talk with you. I mean, from condensed community. You know, you should really do this. Okay. Now our expression for phi x, Fourier transform. Now you should put in right h cube, and this is d 3 p. You see, it's not surprising, because now we take into account all dimensions, because this is cube of p, so actually real variable we integrate on is p over h. So because of that, we have p cube from d3p and this guy, and then this exponent, this usual story, and you see h appears here. You can see that we have p over h as real variable. It's amazing how many of my friends, relativistic physicists, afraid of those units h, non 1, c, non 1. But you can just spend 30, 40 minutes, maybe 1 hour, really, to do this, and then it's easy. And the last thing we used heavily, this commutator for A. now you should put H cube. Okay, I believe this is what we have when we restore this unit. Mm-hmm. Now we will consider Lorentz transformation of operators. And actually, we learn also how in this quantum field theory loop generators of Lorentz group. Lorentz is, I mean, inhomogeneous Lorentz group, Poincaré actually transformations. I will include both homogeneous and translations. Okay, so this is kind of new small section. Okay, we have those operators, right? We worked with this stuff, fundamental, right? And we want to know how they transform. And moreover, we would like to find explicit form for all our generators, like time translation, spatial translation, and Lorentz transformation, homogeneous. One can do this. But one should put some thoughts. Actually, it took my time to prepare this part, believe me, longer than the other, just to be careful and to reproduce everything correctly. Okay, we start from classical field theory. Okay, we already discussed how transform field. So I will consider first homogeneous Lorentz transformation. And now this guy's classical field, right? I could consider classical Klein-Gordon theory. Then this guy going, we know, just our argument, phi prime x, and this guy is this. And when x going x plus a, of course, you should have x mu a mu, then we know that this guy going phi prime, and this is phi x minus a. Okay. Now quantum theory. Let's consider Heisenberg picture. So my field depends on T and spatial x. Okay, what are observable? Observable are matrix elements, not fields, not wave function. Of operators. So operator itself is not observable. You should consider matrix element of this guy. So operators say fx1, fx2, we can consider many fxn, right? And this will be something like this. So I took two wave function, psi and psi bar, and put okay, there are two ways to consider transformation. So this matrix element could transform when either we transform those wave functions, we can do this, or we, and in this case no need to transform fields, or we do not transform wave function but transform fields. So dual two equivalent description. It's like we have Schrödinger-Heisenberg, right? That essentially this is a kind of, you could consider Schrödinger equation like translation in time. So you could consider either translation of wave function, no translation, right, of operator. Or you could consider translation of operator, this is Heisenberg, no translation in time of psi. Same you could consider with respect to any transformation, because that was very simplest transformation of Poincaré and homogeneous Lorentz group. Go ahead.
So why are we starting with many operators?
Why not? Yeah, it's no difference for this. Point is that you, in quantum field theory, should study any such elements. For example, if you consider scattering of many particles, n particles, then you should consider n. If you consider 2 to 2, this is 4, and so on. So it's just actually all information are in this matrix element. Okay, so first, either, okay, as I said, but I will write, either a psi going to u lambda psi, same of course for psi bar. Or we can consider, of course, translation, or and phi x I are not transformed. It's also very confusing point for many people working in this area, by the way. And B, we say psi not transformed. But, and to get but phi x is transformed. Of course, this guy will go okay. Maybe, but how? Okay, let's derive. It's not very difficult. We should get same result for matrix ceiling, right? Okay. Okay, first we transform in the case of A, what we have? This matrix element transform in this guy is so it could be either lambda or A. I mean this, right? So I transform this function and this function goes, but no this guy. But this equal, of course, to this star. Okay, now we have new fields, those guys. But we do not touch wave function, and this is same as to say this guy equal phi prime x1, phi prime x2, and this is phi prime xn. And this is psi. So from here, we immediately can see that in this case, operator phi xi going to phi prime xi, and this is u minus 1 phi x e I u. Okay. On the other hand, we know that it should get the same stuff like in classical theory, right? So this equal either phi lambda minus 1 x I in the case of homogeneous transformation or xi minus a in the case of homogeneous. Okay? So this is fixed everything. For example, not u phi u minus 1, but u minus 1 phi u. So, yeah.
You are in a unitary here or not? Because generally, Lorentz transformations is not unitary.
Right. All finite dimensional are not unitary. In quantum, those are all infinite dimensional. I explain later. Automatically, we will get. And point is, it's connected with the point. You see, I introduce here infinite number of states, right, with different momenta. So in quantum field theory, it's necessary you have infinite number of states. So actually, in quantum field theory, you have a kind of interesting unitary infinite dimension. But they include some information from phi. But it's a good question. But this is the answer, that we have good unitary transformation of that Poincaré group because our space is infinite dimensional. We cannot say we need some momentum and take just one moment, right? We have infinite, right? So, right, but it's actually a good question. Right, okay. So this is redefined. Okay, now, let me define transformation properties of those A and A dagger. And there will be answer to your question concerning normalization. Okay, to discuss this, we need two equalities. Okay, we had many times we wrote this integral. I return, of course, back already to C1H1. So we wrote, but now I will write this. This is some function. We wrote square root, but I will write this. So this stuff, by using property of delta function, I could rewrite in this way, 2 pi theta p zero, so only positive energy, delta p square minus m square, and same function. Okay, now indeed, if you integrate over p zero and use properties of how you can integrate with function of p, you immediately get this answer. It's important that we have also theta. Okay, this is evidently Lorentz invariant metric. Indeed, this d4p is Lorentz invariant because determinant lambda is 1, Jacobian when we make transformation. P square, this is Minkowski stuff, right? And Lorentz transformation cannot change sign of p zero. Okay, so this is Lorentz invariant. Because of that, this is Lorentz invariant. You see, it does not look. And you see how I get this 2EP. Remember that, as I said, delta fx could be written like 1 over absolute value of derivative of x delta x minus x 0 when phi x 0 equals 0. Right, exactly. Okay, so I did this. So derivative of with respect to p0 to p0, and this is delta function gives me exactly this with plus because this set. Okay, you can also actually write, because we have two solutions, plus minus. Sometimes. P0 equal minus P. And actually this guy, very similar expression. Just one small but crucial change. Now theta minus P0. This is Heaviside theta function, right? so it becomes negative root. So you can see that we could, and this is extremely useful to remember in quantum field theory, that invariant metric has this form, d3p over, of course, this would be also Lorentz invariant, but it's convenient to consider because p squared, and usually people write this. Okay, so we have this stuff. Now we are ready to derive transformation properties of A and A dagger. Okay, go down. So actually, your good question concerning non-unitary or unitary type of transformation, then we could check explicitly that they are unitary when we derive those generators in quantum field theory. But it's a good question. It's really okay. This, and let me already remove everything. Yeah, you could ask me, and I will try to answer while doing this dirty job. Okay, so some questions. Go ahead. If you have, if not, it's also okay. You see, first of all, it was very painful for people to elaborate all this stuff. Don't think that it was done during 1 week, or during 1 year, or during 10 years. It took longer. And now you should learn this for 3 months. But it's always like that, you know. Everywhere, even you study ODE, calculus, same stuff, right? It took 1,000 years to elaborate calculus in modern form, 1,000 years. So we are lucky. Or maybe we are not lucky. Who knows? No, but I frankly believe that we are lucky in that it's still a good time for science. Nobody knows what will happen in 100 years when there could be some problems with economy, like with oil and so on. Then, who knows, just people should, certainly I'm sure will be involved in engineering stuff, it will be crucial, but concerning studying fundamental science, we don't know. It could be a kind of saturation when we got a lot of information and the next step will be so expensive that any person who say, right, one should study, never will be left. Right.
Were we talking about the Lorentz transformation in classical mechanics? Or just
classical field theory, I said. Yeah. It's not mechanics.
Yeah, classical field theory. We have an idea that when we talk about rotation, I mean, we're classical, and then we can understand how it.
No, but we I try to use these general arguments not just for rotation. No? It's actually there is in Peshkin the same argument why this guy should be like lambda minus one to the x, not lambda x. So this argument is quite general, I believe.
but doesn't have any physical.
For sure, I believe that argument I gave, and this is in Peshkin book, it's in 35, 36, very physical. What is going on? Okay, I just don't want, because it, we could talk with you later, but I don't want, I don't finish, I want to finish something more today. Okay, now guys, let us show that under lambda A P goes to prime P, which is this guy. And this is this square root. It's automatically, we will derive. Now you should change momentum here. Should divide by all stuff, and you get this. So you can see that it's quite not complicated, but, and of course, A, I will write just once because it has exactly same form. Just take Hermitian conjugation and you will get, right? But I will write once for A dagger. And this is, of course, same factor. And now A, when we have transformation for A mu, right? So this guy AP goes to A prime P, which is U minus 1 A P U A. And this is nothing else but this. This exponent and old story. Okay, I will write. It's Hermitian conjugate for dagger. Okay, so this is what we have. I put this now up. You still could write, and I will work with it. Okay, I show how it's going in the case of lambda transformation. Okay, we know with you that phi prime x is u minus 1 lambda phi x, and this is equal u lambda, and this is equal this. Okay, now this is left hand side in this equality, and this is right hand side. I will go. Okay. Now left hand side. This is of course simple. We just substitute. From this we want to derive transformation for A and A dagger. this is left hand side. Okay, this is what we had left hand side. Now this is equal right hand side, right? Oh, I will rewrite, sorry, let me rewrite the stuff by using what I got. This in Lorentz invariant form, it will be just useful for us. D4 P 2 pi 4 2 pi theta pi 0 delta P squared minus M squared. This guy. Because I have square root, I need this. So this is why I need this. And here now I have u minus 1 lambda a p u lambda Now we know. Okay, just one moment. Right, this is equal right hand side. Right now, right hand side is just this. So let's rewrite. It should be equal. Maybe I. Right hand side, right? And I just write the same expression. So it's even for you error, this equal this, and this is equal. I will write in the same for d4p 2 pi 4 2 pi t. Pi 0 delta p square minus m square. And now I write a, of course, just p. But now I should write minus I p times lambda minus 1 x, right? Plus dagger p. And here I have exponent but with plus. Now, what this equals, the last? We will use this trick. Look, we have p times lambda minus 1 x. But we know with you that lambda p times lambda x, any lambda. Or we can write lambda. This is just p x. So I will write. I will use the following trick. I will write lambda and then lambda minus 1 p times lambda minus 1 x, right? So this guy gives me px, so this guy equals this. So p Minkowski product. And lambda minus 1 x, same like lambda t times x. okay, use, substitute, change those exponent by using this trick. Then we will get this guy equal same and here I have this a p exponent minus I lambda p x plus dot product, right? Minkowski dot product p okay, now change of variable. Let's go in lambda p goes to p, then of course p will go to lambda minus 1 p. Remember, this stuff is Lorentz invariant. It does not change. But this guy will change. So this is equal. So this does not change. But this guy changed. P goes to lambda minus 1 P. 2. Here, what I have with this, this guy becomes minus 1 lambda, right? This becomes same like we had on left hand side. Okay, now compare this line with line, you see, with u minus 1 lambda ap. This is third line from bottom, 1, 2, 3. Then certainly from here we have relation. Compare, we have 2 ep. And now u 1 minus 1 lambda a p u lambda equals this stuff. Because others equal all factors. Okay. And from here you have that this guy u minus 1 lambda a p u lambda, which is nothing else, you call this a prime p, right? Equal quite complicated, not complicated, but at least not evident from the very beginning factor. This is exactly what I promised to prove. You see, transformation of this guy gives me a prime, which p is lambda minus 1 p, this action, but we also have this factor. This is exactly what is written, I believe it's written here, right? Let us show, you see? It's magic. You know, like I promise, bam, bam, and then, so exactly this stuff. Of course, for a dagger same for AW, right? Same factor. Okay, so you see the transformation not so trivial. This is implies actually that those states we introduced, their transformation not so trivial under Lorentz transformation, and those metric is not Lorentz invariant. Okay, so this is main point. Questions here? Currently, you need to look through these manipulations. But okay, now I'll just answer in the case of translations. You could derive, it's much easier to derive by yourself. The same. U minus 1 AB. Oh, I already actually write this, right? But I will, yeah. They written, it's better above, but let me finish, please. Okay. Yeah, apparently. So I just want, but I won't start from there. Just two pages, but I will start next time. Lorentz invariant normalization of states. This is what you want. So I will start, I believe, in order to produce. It's quite simple, but it's already 4:30 and. Apparently, it's better. But please, questions. Yeah.
Okay. There's a question about, do people use the picture when they split Lorentz transformation to rotation and boost? So just like the state is transformed by rotation and the operator transformed by?
Yeah, sure. Of course, the general Lorentz transformation include both rotationally boost. So certainly, no doubt that among Lorentz transformation, you there are which correspond to both rotation and boost.
Yeah, I mean
you can
split. So when we transform the state and simultaneously the
you want both? No,
yes.
No. It just meaningless. You see, point is that, as I said, it's like what you said, can we at the same time use Schrödinger and Heisenberg picture? Answer, no. They are connected by unitary transformation. You see, point is that observable is not field or wave function. And fortunately, maybe for us, all problems with our understanding quantum mechanics is that we cannot directly see wave function. We see only matrix element, including even probability, because this is simplest matrix element. In that case, we should avoid double counting, double transformation, because transformation is either that stuff or that stuff. That's it. And you get everything. No, people do not use it. Maybe they use, and then they fail some exam. Okay, go.
Do you have a Poincaré transformation for Poincaré?
Sorry?
Poincaré.
Poincaré? But this is Poincaré. Poincaré, this is translation. Poincaré. But sure, point is that you could, knowing this, separate transformation UA and Ulambda, you could construct general, for example, their product.
Yeah.
Right? This you can do. At the same time, consider translation and Lorentz transformation. Then, of course, you will get this factor, and this fact exponent factor and the square root factor. Yeah, sure. This is for sure. But it's enough. When you have this basic, you can produce for all general Poincaré inhomogeneous Lorentz transformation. Right. It's enough. Yes.
I have some confusion about the zero point energy that you said that in, it has infinite contribution from all the infinite harmonic oscillators. I mean, so it is defined from the...
No, in the case of usual harmonic oscillator, it's fine. Okay. It's not infinite. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's just one half of energy, of frequency.
But I'm talking about the field theory. I mean,
right. It's infinite. Right.
Infinite. So when you are talking about the ground state energy, it is different, right? I mean, it's not.
It's same, but the energy of that guy will be not zero, but plus infinite, right? Or, but point is that energy of other guys will be even higher because you calculate. You see, you could observe only difference between those excitations connected with those higher states and ground states, right? You will subtract because this constant gives contribution, same contribution into all states. If you can measure only difference, then it will subtract. But in gravity, it's wrong. Because in gravity, this guy will interact with gravity field. And this is cosmological constant. And then it's observable, then you have De Sitter solution. Solutions of your Einstein equation will become different. Like De Sitter metric, and you will get accelerating universe, what people observe now, actually. So it's observable in the case of gravity. Yeah.
So it looks like that it doesn't actually matter here if U is unitary or not?
Point is that I show that it's unitary.
Okay.
Right. I used this in one place. When, in principle, here I should put not U minus 1, but I should put this. You see, you dug it. So I use, look, I look there. Psi prime, I took u to the minus 1. Of course, you could use u dug, but I emphasize that it's inverse. Okay. This is only one point where I use. But if you are not sure, for example, then the correct to write u and dagger, right? Not u minus 1, but for unitary they are equal. So just one moment. Okay, I'm going today to New York for 2 days for some meeting, and but I still will be here for a while to wait this bus to airport. So see you next.
You want to tell everyone about assignments?
Sorry?
You want to tell everyone to